Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready to talk about some sex?
Yes, I am.
In the most sexless time I've ever had in my life.
Are you masturbating?
Yeah, so I am still, but not as much. So
really?
Okay, wait. 2 weeks ago, we had talked. Last week was
2 weeks ago. I challenged you to a year of celibacy.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So right. So that happened, and because last week we didn't really put out an episode because I was too upset. We were too upset. Yeah. The province was too upset, and I just didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, but 2 weeks ago, you were like, you challenged me to a year of celibacy, and I was kind of biting. I was kind of like, maybe I'll toy with this a little bit. Now it's been 2 weeks. Jesus Christ, it's been 2 weeks. That's fucking crazy, man. Time's flying. But I did have someone message me after that conversation with like true deep concern. And they were like, I don't know if that's healthy. I don't think you should. I don't think you should dive headfirst that quickly into just like nothing. And I didn't. I read the message. And when I first read it, I was like, you don't know me, whatever. And then like 15 minutes later, I was like, you know what? They're probably right. Maybe I should like cool my jets here. So I have been still masturbating, but to a much less amount. So I'm not doing it as much. I'm limiting it to once a day. And that's if I do it once a day. I've gone a couple of days where I haven't. And so that's where I stand with that. And to be honest with you, I actually feel a little bit, I feel less, how do I word this? I feel less animalistic and like primal and, a little more sane, you know?
Oh. Interesting.
I feel a little bit more clear.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily anticipating that as an outcome. I didn't think you were going to do the year of celibacy, but I was impressed by how you tried it on for a minute.
Hey, you now. Know? Hey, hey.
No. I mean it. I think whatever very qualified person reached out and told you that now is probably not a good idea. Probably they know this because of they've studied it in science, or they have some sort of factual evidence that it could in fact be harmful for you.
You know what they I'm did? Sure. They didn't. I don't even know where it came from. It was an Instagram direct message. Couldn't tell you if it was like directly to me or if it was to turn me on. And also they didn't write anything in terms of like credentials or any sort of study. It literally was just like, yo, I wouldn't do that. So that's so I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it was literally, it came to me in a DM in a dream that I had a few nights ago. So
dude, I'm telling you,
super qualified.
Although I'm telling you, I've been having some fucking crazy dreams.
I've been hearing this from everybody, but I think I'm not dreaming at all.
It's probably because are you smoking weed? Smoking too much weed.
Yeah, I'm smoking too much weed.
That's what it is. That's why you're not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you stop that, you're gonna have double dose. You're gonna have the dose of. Excuse me. This bubbly water is getting to me. You're gonna have the double dose. You're gonna get the dose of lost REM from not receiving true REM from the weed, which is gonna be like crazy dreams. And then on top of that, you're gonna get what I can only assume is like COVID fight or flight stress survival dreams. And I don't mean okay. that like dreams that are you trying to survive. I mean that whatever's happening right now. I read this really interesting thing. It was a tweet actually that was retweeted by my one of the loves of my life, my grade 12 drama teacher. And I don't mean love as in lover. I mean love as in someone that I will love to the ends of the universe and back for the rest of my eternal being, because she's shaped me. She's taught me who to be as a human, and she means a lot to me. But anyway, she retweeted a tweet, and the tweet was about, it was about creativity. And the tweet was about someone who was like, hey, are you finding these times hard on your creative output? Are you finding these times hard on like your, like, do you find it hard to write? Do you find it hard to find motivation to cultivate, you know, the art that you typically go towards when you're feeling creative? Do you find this time hard to be productive in general? And if so, here's why. And it was like, you're in a mode of survival right now. Although it might seem like not the case, things are so fucked up right now in the world that deep down within you, in your psyche, some part of you is like within this state, this stress state of like fight or flight, and
your reptilian brain.
Yeah. And so it's the other parts of you, you know, the creative side of you, the side that needs to focus on like work, the side that needs to focus on the tasks that need to get done throughout the day, that side of you is like, is being fucking muted because there's this other part of your brain that's going, no, that doesn't matter. That shit doesn't fucking, that we don't need to focus on that right now. We need to focus on survival. And I read that and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I've never really thought about it that way. Not necessarily feeling that myself. You know, I feel pretty creatively driven right now. I feel pretty productive in the sense of like, of creativity. But then I started thinking about, because I too am hearing all these people say that they're having these fucked up dreams.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, what if it's that? What if these dreams are coming from this mode of like this reptilian survival instinct that we have? And so, you know, like we are our brain is running a little hotter than it normally would because of that little added dose of survival in our day to day. And then so when we go to sleep, our brains are just like firing off way more intensely than they normally would. Now, this is all complete fucking bro science. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but there's a thought.
I'm trying to look it up right now because I did see an explanation for why we were having all these crazy dreams. And when I say I saw, I mean I saw a headline and I didn't read it.
You headline whore. That's me. That's what I do.
Yeah. So
I don't read shit. It's
Smithsonian Magazine. Oh, insomnia and vivid dreams on the rise with COVID-19 anxiety.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me just see if there's anything in here. You know, because like, you know, there's neuroscience in there. You know that the brain is absolutely is in survival mode in terms of like, it's so relatable to the yoga framework as well. It's like if you have a wobbly foundation, which everything's fucking wobbly right now. Everything's wobbly. Nothing is certain. And everything is uncertain. And so it's really hard to stabilize personally. It takes a little more effort to just stabilize and be like, okay, I have food, I have water, I have shelter. But it's almost like we have to continually check on that every day. For a lot of people, you know, that's financial. That's a financial stress every day is like, can I keep a roof over my head and can I keep food in my belly and in the bellies of my family members? And it's very hard to, you know, my sister told me, my sister, Tara, she is a poet. She's a poet in conversation though. We were having a conversation the other day about the rubble. Like what's left after the earthquake and like what's still standing and like where are little bits of life like, you know, sprouting up out of the rubble, what's growing. And the visual was such a strong, it just worked so well for me that sort of metaphor. And
she has such a way with words.
Yeah. But like you can imagine it's one thing to survive, it's another thing to survive and thrive. And so I think creatively speaking, the teacher that you're speaking about that you'll love forever has become one of my creative partners.
Yeah, Aaron Morris, shout out to Aaron Morris, Miss Morris to me. Mo to me. I mean, she goes by Mo to me, but whatever.
She's awesome. And
she is awesome.
And I can't remember.
How fucking crazy is it that I mean, like, okay, I'm sure our listeners don't give a flying fuck, but how crazy is it that you and Mo are creatively, like, that your lives have, like, come together? Oh, man, I just love that so much. The two loves of my life just colliding in space and creating and changing the world. You know, what a fucking, I'm so lucky.
Okay. Thank you, baby. I feel really lucky too. Thank you for introducing me to Mo. So the Smithsonian Magazine says, as National Geographic reports, as some people are doing less each day, their dreaming minds are digging deeper into their memories to come up with information to process. Yet healthcare professionals are reporting vivid nightmares. So that was the thing. It's like our consciousness, or our subconscious, is reaching back into old memories to pull them forward.
Yeah,
you know, into the light and examine them. And I think, you know, we talked about that a little bit in we talked about it in a conversation we had that'll come out in an episode sometime soon about sort of like processing old beliefs and old things from childhood and just being like, why do I believe that it's not safe to express my needs? You know, that kind of sort of questioning.
Yeah. Why do I believe that if I cross my eyes and the wind changes direction, they'll stay that way forever. Why do I believe that?
How many people's faces have you seen frozen in a goofy face, Jeremy? Just frozen for all of eternity.
In real life, none. You know what's really funny though is that notion. Have we ever talked about that on the show? Silly little side story. My dad, when I was a kid, told me because I'm really good at crossing my eyes. Like I can do it right now. I can cross them and I can cross one and keep the other one straight. I'm really good at I can do both eyebrows one at a time. No one can see this because it's a podcast, but I can assure you that each eyebrow is going up and down, individually isolated. So I have a lot of these, pretty impressive facial skills, I would say. And I would fuck around with that shit around the house, and my dad would be like annoyed, I guess, or something, like, you know, doing it too much. And although I feel like other parents have said this to their kids, where my dad was like, yo, stop that. If you keep your eyes crossed and the wind changes direction, they'll get stuck. And that scared the fucking bejesus out of me, you know, as a, I don't know, 4-year-old, 5-year-old little clown. And so I believed that until I was like 15 or 16. And I said it to my friend who was crossing his eyes at me in front of him and his father. And my friend's father, who is kind of a prick, like military dude, kind of like scary dad guy that like no bullshit. And he made me feel like such a fucking idiot. And anyway, so I'll never forget that. Why did I bring that up?
Well, we were talking about how dreaming we're pulling beliefs out of the past.
Yeah.
It was for that very important,
mm-hmm.
very important reason. Yeah, I don't know. No dreaming, smoking too much weed. I think I really gotta reevaluate my cannabis consumption.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, I've been like a lifelong user of my whole adult life, and you know, pretty much daily. And I love it for certain things. But right now, I feel like the negative effects, and I say I don't like using the words positive and negative, but I would say some of the downfalls are that I usually use cannabis as a way to sort of isolate myself a little bit. Like I don't like to do it with other people. I like to consume it by myself and like do a bunch of yoga for hours, or, you know, write or go for a run, or like all of the activities that I do that I extra enjoy when when I've got a little bit of cannabis in me. But one of the things that I cannot do when I'm stoned is talk to other people.
Yeah, same. Fuck. I'm so... I can't.
And like, say I have a day, like it's a slow day. I don't have a ton to accomplish, or, you know, I've worked really hard or whatever. And it's like, or it's just Tuesday and I want to smoke weed when I wake up. On those days, when it gets to the afternoon and I'm like, okay, I've been isolating now all day. Like, even if there is someone in the room smoking weed with me, it's not an activity we're doing together. And I just can't have any other barriers right now to connecting with people, because it's like a day will go by and I'll be like, well, there's like, I want to call so-and-so, it's their birthday, but I'm a blabbering idiot right now and I won't make any sense and it'll be uncomfortable. And those are the kinds of, you know,
because you're high, you're saying that?
Oh yeah. I think
you know what?
Because I'm high.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. I feel like maybe you should challenge yourself. All right. So my challenge is to give my dick a little break. And then your challenge is to maybe when you have that feeling of like paranoia that you are judging yourself while you're high, is to like lean into that discomfort and go to that place. And
that's what I do. I get my journal out and I go, you are so dumb.
No,
Why did you do this again? You've been doing this for years. You said you were never going to do this again.
No.
And that was yesterday.
I mean, call the person. I mean, call the person and like go, all right, I'm gonna tell them
how much I hate myself.
No, Jesus Christ. I'm talking just to have the conversation. Have the conversation with the person, even though in the back of your head you're like, you know, you're kind of having that paranoia. Let that paranoia be there, but like go through that experience of having the conversation with them. And then check in the next day when you're sober to see, you know, or just like cut out the weed period. But like if you're going to continue to use THC, which I don't see a problem with that as long as it's like you feel like it's not negatively affecting you. If you're going to keep doing it, then learn from it, you know, go into that paranoia and like, because like, I don't know, for myself, when, you know, talking about the use of drugs to benefit you, like that's, you know, I'm still microdosing on a very consistent schedule every third day. And that's been my go-to is like, all right, when I start to like feel discomfort rising somewhere within me, then I'm trying more and more to focus on like just walking straight into it, fucking arms wide open, eyes closed, like chin up, and just go, all right, here, like I'm going in. I'm gonna go right into the storm. And then what happens after? You know, like how do you feel after that the next day? Usually not too bad.
Well, the thing is one of the other pitfall or the downfalls of it is that it fucks with my short-term memory as well. And so giving the person a call the next day or even being able to sort of reflect on my own state when I'm not like a little bit stoned is an ideal. And it's the short-term memory thing that gets me because... Like, say, for example, the other night I called one of my good friends out on the West Coast. And, you know, we've been friends since we were 10. Those are the friends I feel like I really want to connect to. I want to be myself again at 10 years old. Mm. And so I get on the phone with her and, you know, sitting out in my camper van because it's like private and we can just talk about shit. And I'm having a glass of wine and I'm smoking a joint and then we had a great conversation. I don't know. We talked for like an hour and then I went in to make dinner and then like I had to remind myself about the things that she told me that were going on in her life because the next time I call her, I want to remember the things we talked about,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I've found that a few times with like some of these quarantine conversations, these hangouts, these Zooms, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm drinking wine, I'm smoking weed, and it's like whatever, and we're laughing, we're having a great time. And then the next day, and you know, it's my own relationship to hangovers and guilt and whatever, but it's just that feeling of like, oh, you know, like it almost invalidates everything that I felt good about the night before, you know?
Right, right.
But overall, you know, whether it's pot or whether it's sex or whether it's booze or whatever, like I feel in me this like, especially right now, I think I'm in this phase of isolation where I'm starting to feel like a bit desperate for something new. And so my day will go by and like maybe I'll have a smoke weed in the morning or maybe I'll have like some wine, you know, at lunchtime or whatever. And like that's, you know, once I start, I can't stop or I get very cranky. I have this fixation of like, I just need something to like alter the experience that I'm having, to just change it up a bit, like to change up the day, to like break up the day in some way. And yeah, it's just a really interesting, the shadow, I think it's referred to as like the shadow side, like meeting myself in those places and be like, Bridie, what is it about that, you know, behavior that like weird critic Bridie up, you know, that one really critical voice in my head is like, you know, that's not good. You're not being good. You're not being good. You know, you know better. That kind of shit.
The entire time that I've known you, you've had this, this reoccurring, like, 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year. This, like, this thing where you're like, this, your relationship to pot and the way it waxes and wanes, like, throughout the year, where you'll just, like, you seem to catch yourself and not feel great about the way that you're using it. And then, like, all of a sudden, you won't touch it for a long time. And then you'll find it again. And you'll find it in a way where it's like, wow, this is really paying off. And, like, this is beneficial to me. And I'm enjoying this. And you find the joy in it. And then that goes for a certain period of time. And then you get to where you are now again. And it's like rinse, recycle, repeat over and over and over again. So you're just
it's
in your
my
cycle.
Wheel.
That's all. Yeah, you're just
it's my wheel of suffering.
Yeah.
Called? Dukkha?
Yeah,
it's my wheel of suffering. Yeah, it's funny because you know, I'm hanging out with my dad and he's a confessed addict. You know, he's been sober 33 years, but I see him, you know, he has gastric cancer and he didn't know until it was like stage 4, and even with like taking care of him and asking him like, are you in pain? Do you need medicine? Or like, are you hungry? Do you need food? He's basically been like, you know, for so long, he couldn't trust his impulses, that his impulses were impulses to do things that would be healthy for him. So he just kind of shut down hearing messages from his body or stopped listening to all of them. Like, you know, you've seen my dad, you know, out and about until he's absolutely on the brink of exhaustion. You know, he just doesn't know when to stop. And I feel like that's again, it's one of those like old, there's something in that I learned. I think that I do that with relationships as well. I think I'm like, I'm always sort of questioning my relationship to, you know, whatever, you know, it's fucking exhausting. Jesus.
Yeah. But you know what? It's fascinating to watch from the sidelines. it's what makes me love you.
That's what you get a life partner for.
You just get to, it's a show. It's the longest running series that you will ever watch. It's better written than any HBO series ever made.
And 3 or 4 times a year, you get to go, I've seen this before. I've seen this plot before.
Yeah. And just fast forward. you know, what's new in my life is this fucking mustache.
Uh-huh. Is it getting you laid?
No, if anything, I've been getting literal messages of hate on social media. But you know what? I fucking like it.
It looks good, babe.
I like my mustache. I love this mustache. it was originally a handlebar mustache, which I really did like, but also I was very scared of it too. So, and yeah. I had an engagement, an interview with like a pretty reputable organization, and it was like broadcasted out to the world. So I was like, I'm not going to do this with a handlebar mustache. I looked like Hulk Hogan, a young, vibrant, very pale Hulk Hogan. That's what I looked like, but anyway, I shaved in like just this mustache as is. And here's the thing. Here's what I've noticed. All right. So I've been looking at my face a lot. But you know, Zoom I saw a meme that the other day that came out. It was like, here's what a Zoom meeting is. It's like, you know, and it was like different timelines. And you know, one timeline was like this one thing. The other was this other thing. And the other timeline that was like from start to finish was just me looking at myself. And so, you know, I get it. I'm looking at myself a lot these days. And I've noticed that with this mustache. Okay, you looking at it?
Yeah.
I usually have a beard. And my beard makes me look quite older. My beard, yeah. Like, I would say my beard adds, like, 5 years to, like, the age of my face. Okay. In a good way, I think. It makes me just look a little more mature. But when I shave all the way down to the skin, I look very boyish, right? Now, mm-hmm. with this mustache, I've got that boyish charm. I've got that boyish lightness. But there's a little bit of daddy in there. There's a little bit of authority, you know, a little bit of grown up, but with a lot mm-hmm. of boy.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, mustache rides are currently free. And if you if you're looking to sign up, you can go to I want a mustache ride at gmail.com and just send your emails there and we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how we can set that up.
Yeah. You were talking about how expressive and articulate you can be with your eyebrows. How can you do with the, can you alternate different sizes? Oh my God, you can. Whoa. You can make so many different faces. It's like looking at down a kaleidoscope.
It's pretty fucking crazy, man. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That was a filter I've been using on Zoom here.
Kaleidoscope face.
Yeah, this mustache isn't even real, dude. This has been silly. Do you have a just the tips, Bride?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Last week, or today is Tuesday. We put this out on Wednesday. This Wednesday. On Sunday, April 26th, which was last Sunday, I did a somatic movement practice with a handful of our patrons. And it was super fun. And I, you know, I'm always advocating for more movement and more play and more just like getting your stress out of your body through movement. And, yeah. Today or yesterday I added on to my little movement routine. I added a 35 minute vocal warm up to my routine, which you can get on, I went into my iTunes and was like, can I find a playlist that just has like a track for warming up vocally? And yes, you can. So I've been doing this this vocal warm-up, 35 minute vocal warm-up from Jacob's Vocal Academy. And I think there's like a 60 minute one as well, and I've done it a couple times, and honestly it's really good for your lungs. Like, it feels great once you really have to like get big, large quantities of oxygen into your lungs, like expand your rib cage, and then the to be able to carry a sound for as long as you need to carry it to do these scales or whatever, you have to have quite a bit of control over your diaphragm and the speed at which you release the sound, and you also have to try to relax your throat and your neck and your face so that the power is really coming from the lungs and down below. And then the exercises that you're doing are very standard vocal exercises for singers, and for mostly for singers, but singers and speakers will benefit from this. And it gets you to go to ridiculous like pitches, and you will, you know, it will sound and feel so silly to try to hit notes that you can't hit. And if there's nobody else around to like judge you, it is such a fun exercise in like, how That's, high yeah. can you go? Like you get this resonant sound in your nose and your jaw, and it's like, and then if you sound ridiculous, it's hilarious and you can make yourself laugh.
Yeah, I will say this: if you know, we've talked about voice work and movement work based on our acting training a number of times on the show. But I will say this: if you've never done voice work where you've felt the resonance within the like within your sinuses and your face, there is no greater feeling. I love that fucking sensation. Of like exploring all of those, just the vibrations of through that. And if you've never done this before, it won't really make sense. But when you hum and like and explore your sort of register in terms of your octaves and how to use your voice and where you can place the sounds that your voice makes, you kind of tap into these like these hollow points in your sinuses and your face and like. This is how like people do accents, you know. It's like if you hear someone speaking with a Scottish accent, the sound waves that are coming out of their face are coming out from different directions. That's why they have the accent that they have, right? Like it's such a unique feeling. It feels really it's really satisfying. It's like scratching a really good itch. You know?
Yeah, and I will say as well that what was I gonna say? I was trying to get back to you on your video here. It's gone. Just give me one second.
It's a sec. Okay. All right.
Important. I'm taking my.
You got a point? Okay.
I do have a point.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, but it's gone now. I lost
the point's
it.
Gone? No, you just lost the video. You don't need the video for the point.
I lost the point.
Oh, my God.
I can't get my video back.
I was talking about how
the
good
resonance.
It feels. Yeah, the resonance and how it feels like scratching an itch. It feels so good.
Yeah, whatever I was going to say was before. That doesn't matter. It's fucking gone.
Cool idea. So, all right, that's a good Just the Tips, Brad. I'm going to... So I think, you know, if anyone listened to last week's episode, you know that we had a bit of a hard week, and I've been kind of going through my list of things that make me happy and things that bring joy to my day, and the internet never ceases to amaze me in terms of how much the internet can brighten your day or how much it can like ruin your day. And so I've been trying to really focus on the things on the internet that really like make my day great. And I remembered a Reddit, a subreddit that is, it's just the fucking best thing ever. If you've never been to, the subreddit is r-dgdag, all caps. It has to be capital, D-G-D-A-G. D-G-D-A-G, which stands for Dogs Getting Dogs as Gifts. So this entire subreddit is videos of fully grown dogs getting puppies as a gift or being introduced to their new brother or sister as a puppy. It's mostly golden retrievers. I don't know, like, it must be like a golden sort of like, you know, people who call their fucking golden retriever goldens, like it must be a goldens thing where they know to like take video of like your golden getting a new golden. But there are other dogs too, you know, not throwing shade at golden retrievers. They're cute as hell. But it's mostly golden retrievers, but it's these videos of like a full grown puppy and they'll like come up to a box and like they'll put their little head in the box. And then like from the box, this little puppy kind of like pops out. And the dog, the full-grown dog who's meeting this new puppy for the first time, is so happy and is so like, you know, seeing a dog trying to communicate to a puppy, like, come with me, I'll show you all the things. And the puppy just like a puppy, is just like going in every direction, but also like so fascinated with like this bigger version of itself. Oh my God, it is the fucking simultaneously the cutest thing slash funniest thing slash sweetest thing, like makes my fucking ovaries ache, you know? And I don't even have sperm, let alone ovaries. And I feel the ache. So R-DGDAG, all caps. And I swear to God, it will make your fucking year. It'll take 2020 and flip it on its head. So that it's
That's S-O-S-O. That's a big statement.
Wait, with that 2020. Osos. Yeah.
Well, thanks, babe. That's a good just a tip. No, it's great. I think definitely baby animals are the way to go if you need a break from the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's throw it to this week's episode. We're talking to a gentleman named Matt from the U.S. And Matt I really like this conversation. We spoke to a man who has nothing but great things to say about the power of sex work. And Matt was would it be weird to say that Matt was a John? You know, like Matt.
No,
Matt's a John. Matt's the John. He's the John. Matt's a guy who came to he found his sexual awakening through the aid of sex work, through the aid of hired sex work. And, it's a really it's just a really nice tale. It's a feel good story. It's a great example of why sex work is so important for so many people out there. I really enjoyed this chat with Matt.
Me too. I hope you will all also, enjoy hearing from our bud down in, I actually think that's anonymous. So from somewhere in human space.
Somewhere down there. All right. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. And big shout out to all of our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us. And you're keeping this podcast going. You truly are. And to everyone else out there, we love you. And we hope you're staying safe. And enjoy this conversation. We'll see you on the other side.
Mwah. I was talking the other day to Tara, my sister, about the, we were talking about getting some film developed. I think maybe getting like nudes developed, like at Walmart or whatever, where you'd have that place.
Like
where you'd
like
take
film
your...
camera film.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I had a roommate in college back in the day who worked at one of the 1 hour photo places, and he would occasionally bring in like, yeah, I couldn't develop this, but this was too hilarious, gross, something to not share. So he would bring it in and post it on our refrigerator.
I always wondered about that. Like, you clearly they're going to see the photos that they're developing,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, so if you're taking some like real kinky shit, like back in the day, mm-hmm. and you were going to get that developed at like Shoppers Drug Mart, you know, like the person who's working the counter is going to be handing you that envelope going, I know all your dirty secrets.
Yes, I have seen all of your dirty secrets. I have developed all of your, I've color corrected all of your dirty secrets.
You take those photos, you're like, don't worry, baby, this is between you, me, and the guy.
And the guy down the road who works at the...
the guy who developed the film.
Yeah.
That's where Polaroid was your best friend.
Yeah, right. Polaroids, but you know what though? There's something very, very hot about taking nudes with Polaroids.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I have one of those little Instax Polaroids.
Same.
It's great.
Yeah, it's super great. Fun. Yeah,
it's really fun. You know, you take a couple of pictures, you fool around for a while, and you have pictures to look at while you're laying in bed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Or something to slip into your wallet. You know, those little Instax, perfectly wallet fitting.
Yes.
Polaroids.
Yep. Just a little bit smaller than a credit card.
Bridie, I know I was earlier. I was actually I had forgot to hit record, and I know that I had told you to take the reins, and then we jumped into this fucking film conversation.
And so, we weren't recording.
Yeah, we are now. But
we are recording now.
Yeah. So go right ahead there.
Now you'd like me to take it away?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I can't think of a way to segue from that into what we're going to talk about. So back when you wrote in 2017, June 2017, I just looked it up, you wanted to mention a very specific aspect of your sexuality, which was that you were a patron of escorts.
Yes, I had... I had been a patron of escorts, and I think when I actually wrote the email, it was still escorts and cam girls.
Mm.
And when you sent me the email yesterday saying, hey, would you be available to do the, would you still be interested in being on the show? It was like, it's kind of going back in the Wayback Machine, because the person I am now is not the person I was in 17, but the choices I made and the things I did in that time directly affected where I am now, if that makes sense.
Interesting. So you originally applied to talk about the fact that you were a patron of escorts and utilizing like online services like cam girls, and that played a big role in your like sexual sexual being, like as a sexual being.
It helped me overcome some hangups and some things that I had, that my upbringing and my life had put on me. It helped me understand that sex wasn't the... I grew up in a church, a very fundamental, old school King James 1611 Bible church. That did a lot of weird things to my head. And I also grew up, was exposed to porn at an early age. And a lot of that stuff just gets in your mind and screws with your head.
Mm.
It's the guilt of wanting sex and of being told at the same time that sex outside of marriage is bad and you're going to go to hell and you're going to roast for eternity because you wanked it to a picture of a naked girl.
Right, right. You'll grow hair out of your palms.
You're going to go blind. You're going to get hairy palms. You know?
Yeah.
Just all that crap. And it took me probably until I was – I'm 44 now. It took me until I was around 35 to 40 before I actually started engaging with that and realizing that that where I was it healthy mentally or emotionally? And the cam girls and the escorts, they helped me realize that it's natural, that I was an attractive guy, and that I was desirable. Yes, okay, so I am desirable for what I'm providing, which is the money, but... it helped bridge the gap until I could overcome all of that stuff that was back in the back of my mind, until I could overcome it and become who I am now.
I really love that, because I feel like a lot of people probably associate, I think a lot of people associate like sex work as like a shameful thing. You know, there's a lot of stigma behind sex workers. And so it's really nice to hear your take on it, where you're coming into sex with the immense weight of shame that comes with unfortunately comes with religion, you know, especially like Catholicism. You know, it's just like you hear time and time again people talk about how shameful they feel about the idea of sex because of their background in Catholicism or Christianity. And so you're coming into it with that shame built up, yet your exploration into utilizing sex work as a way to build to like work yourself out of that shame is that there's something very 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 wonderful about that. I love that.
Yeah, it was. It was like there was a pressure that needed to be released. We can say,
literally and figuratively. Yes.
Literally and figuratively. Yeah, there was an emotional pressure, there was a mental pressure, obviously a physical pressure that felt like it needed to be released. And masturbation and porn weren't doing it. It actually took interacting with actual human being.
Hmm.
So, escort services versus mm-hmm. camgirl services are very different in terms of like how you access them. And I know that accessing escorts means going out into the mm-hmm. community a little bit. And I don't know what it's like where you're from, but it's pretty sneaky. You got to be pretty sneaky about it around these parts.
When I first saw an escort, I was working in Toronto.
Okay.
And this was back when Canada had just decriminalized everything because of some constitutional issue.
Okay.
They were still trying to figure out how do we regulate it and how do we... But this, I am an American. It was the Canadian Supreme Court or somebody had thrown out all of the laws saying, these aren't just. And so this is when they were still trying to decide what was... So it was a very legal gray area where it was available, it was accessible. They weren't enforcing any of the laws because they couldn't. Because they weren't sure what laws they could enforce. And this was also back when Backpage was still available.
Mm-hmm. So Backpage, for people who might not know.
What do you mean?
Backpages? Like what? For our listeners who might not be aware of what Backpages is.
Backpage was a website that was ran by, originally started by the Village Voice in New York. And it was kind of like the Backpages of the newspaper. It's where you'd find all the classified ads. They also had some dating services, which usually ended up being escorts, but they also had a dedicated adult work section, which was where girls who wanted to advertise themselves as escort, and again, there was a, what's the word I'm looking for? There were some criminal elements that were utilizing some girls.
Right, some trafficking.
Trafficking and stuff. After a while, you could kind of tell, it's like, okay, yeah, that's definitely, that's not good, this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also other websites that I use, there's one called P411, which is where you could actually go in and you had to give them an email address from your company you worked for and a couple of other things. It's been several years to verify that, hey, you're a human, you're not the police, and you have been escorted. And as you saw, girls who were providers who worked on there, who were members of 411, they could give you an okay. I don't know if y'all are familiar with, basically they would say, yes, I've seen this person. He's not the police. He was nice. He didn't abuse me. He paid me on time. He paid me, no issue, no drama. So you could build up a rating there where you were verified by fellow providers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Airbnb.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's where they got their idea for the whole rating system there. Interesting.
Yeah. It may have been.
You can have there's a whole shared blacklist as well of
if I'm not mistaken, there is a blacklist, and obviously if you're a bad actor, you're going to get placed on the blacklist. So mm-hmm. I was fortunate, or not fortunate, I was raised, quote unquote, right, but I got approval from several of them. And so as you get approval from the first one is a little awkward. It's like, hey, had a great time. Can you give me a positive rating on this website? Then as it gets a little bit easier, and then you realize you get more and more positive reviews, and then people you approach on this website are more willing and open to start a conversation with you.
Did you develop consistent relationships with particular escorts?
Unfortunately, the financial aspect precluded me from doing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. That's where I kind of went into the camgirl range, because that allowed me to develop relationships with people at a much lower price point. So I did have several that I saw multiple times, and it was almost like a friendship. You're having a relationship with this person. Yes, you're paying for it. It's almost like extremely short duration sugar daddy, sugar baby kind of relationships.
Hmm.
Would you say, maybe what does it, look like to, when you say you kind of had confronted that you were feeling this shame, Can you maybe just like explain a little bit about what that looks like? Because we talk, you know, we'll touch on the cliche of like the Christian shame and stuff like that. And it exists and it's there. But like, you know, I grew up in the church as well, but I wouldn't consider myself, I'd never really considered myself hindered sexually by the church. And then when I started thinking about things in the last, you know, month or two, and I'm like, what, you know, looking at my own issues, I'm like, maybe there is a bit of Christian shame. So I wonder if you can illuminate what that looked like for you in your life, because I think that even though we may not know or feel like we're affected by it, there, it's in little insidious ways that thread through our lives.
It does, and you don't really think about it, at least in the forefront of your mind, but it's always in the back of your mind. For me, it was, I would try my best to fight the urge. It was like, you know, I'm going to be a good Christian man. I'm going to find a good Christian woman. We're going to only have sex missionary position and raise 2.5 kids and a dog. But then it just becomes so much that there's the pressure to have the release or something just builds up, and I had to go take care of it. I had to masturbate. It was, and then after I masturbated, I felt horrible. It's like, oh my God, I failed God. God's going to hate me. I'm going to go to hell. It was always the threat of the lash was always there. The threat of hell, eternal damnation, because I can't control a base human desire. And the thing that really fucks with you is, it's a base human desire that the quote unquote God gave you. And he's also saying, it's the whole, you know, here's this tree with all this knowledge. Don't touch that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel real good, but don't do it.
It's going to feel really good. It's going to feel great. It's going to be awesome. You're going to know everything. You're going to be more godlike and everything.
Did you feel like he was watching? You know, like when you were doing it, and then afterwards, you're like, "Ah, oh, fuck! Why did I do that?" Like, did you like? Is it kind of the same?
Don't look at me.
Yeah, because I feel weird about jerking off in front of Bigby, and like, and if I've done it, I have this feeling of like, "Ah, oh, fuck! He saw me." Like, there's a bit of shame. Like, do you feel like he was watching you from up above?
Somewhat. Not. I mean, not. I don't feel like, you know, like there's a voyeur up there.
It's more of the. He'll find out eventually.
Or like if you had some roommates and they have the girlfriend over and you can hear them having sex in the next room.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
sure. You know what's going on.
He knows what's going on. I know what they're doing.
It's like, are you still a man of God?
No, I would now consider myself, I have some atheistic friends that hate this, but I consider myself agnostic because in their view, there's only two ways. It's either agnostic or atheist, there's either theist or atheist. Mm-hmm. I've had some experiences in my life that prevent me from going full on there is a God, and I've had some experiences in my life that prevent me from going there is no God.
Same. Yeah.
So I kind of straddle. I straddle the fence between belief and disbelief.
Sure. Right.
So basically it sounds like you came to this moment where you're like, I'm walking along trying to fit into this mold. I'm pretty sure I'm doing it. I'm heading in the right direction. I'm putting all the pieces together, but like more and more and more, you don't fit into it until it just explodes.
More and more, I don't fit. And actually, one of the things that kind of pushed me over the edge, quote unquote, I got a job at a church.
Okay.
I saw how the sausage was made.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that just, I don't know. Have you ever read the book, the Upton Sinclair's, the crap, what was that? It's the one he did in Chicago where he was like talking about the meatpacking industry and how horrible it was back at like the 1900s.
Okay.
And I saw how the sausage was made. You know, I saw the grinding that was going on. I saw how they were beating down. I saw how they talked about members of the church when the members of the church weren't there.
It's like when I got a job at my favorite restaurant.
Oh yeah, you see how they make the soup, which is just like open a bag and dump it in.
Yeah, I've never been back to the restaurant since. It ruined it for me.
Yeah, I used to work back in high school, back in 1994. I worked for a little fast food place, and it's still around. I refuse to fucking go.
Totally.
I know how they make the food. No.
Yeah.
There is nothing they can do in that restaurant to improve the quality of the food to make me eat there.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So fast forward then a little bit to the time where, you know, the levee breaks and the pressure builds up too much, and you, did you lose your virginity to a sex worker?
No, I did not. Okay. I actually lost my virginity to a high school girlfriend while we were watching The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Nice.
On VHS, yes.
Nice.
There are certain scenes in that movie when I can't watch it without going,
Oh, that's a great memory. I love that.
Yes, yes.
Wait, so you lost your virginity well before you left the church?
Mm.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay. You dirty boy.
I know, I was going to help with that. I've kind of had this, it's almost a waveform as far as my, like, start off, you know, devout Christian, trying to do everything right, go down to the bottom and then go back up and down. And very much a wave. And at that point, I was on the bottom side of a wave of my belief. That was just after my senior year of high school. And then, of course, it gets better and it gets worse, quote unquote, better, worse, depends on your point of view. But yeah, that was, it was well beforehand. I had actually left the church, working the church, and I was working for a small company that allowed me to travel around doing electrical stuff. And I was actually working in Canada, and I was at a low point. I was in Canada. I was working. The problem with the travel was it didn't allow me to develop like a good dating relationship, because it's really hard to date somebody when you're only in on the weekends, and then it's hard to date somebody when you're at work, when you're 300 miles away during the week. It's hard to balance that whole dating lifestyle. So I wasn't seeing anybody. I was very lonely. I was horny as hell, obviously. And I had read, I think what broke the dam was the hotel I was staying at, they put the paper under your door every day. And I was reading about the Canadian Supreme Court had literally just struck down these laws like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And that was the article. And I was just like, because, you know, I had looked at the ads as spank bank material, quote unquote. But I had never actually considered, just because of legality, because I know, yeah, the whole legal thing still is a little scary. But I was reading about this, and it's like they're not enforcing it, and everything I was reading. So I went on Backpage while I was in my hotel room. I found somebody that seemed really nice. Texted with her a couple of times. She gave me an address, told me how much. I went to the ATM, got out the Canadian money, which smells like maple syrup.
It's my favorite part about living up here, you know. Everything smells like maple syrup. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's like the Oompa Loompas, you know. Oompa Loompas dancing around. Went and saw her. It was a little weird because she lived in a basement apartment of a house. So she's like, park on the street, don't park in front of the house, come around back, knock on the door like 3 times or something.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
so clandestine. I love it.
It was very clandestine. Went in. You set the money. Well, everything I'd read is you set the money on a dresser or something. You don't physically hand the money to
That's how they get you.
Well, yeah, apparently. And that there's a lot of myths around that, but
it's like COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Don't hand anything to anybody, but you can pet somebody's dog and you're fine.
Pet someone's cock. I mean, give or take, one or the other. Doesn't
matter. Yeah, one of them. Yeah. Set the money down. Think we talked for a little bit, then we actually moved into having sex.
Were you?
Yeah, we moved into having sex.
Were you pretty nervous?
I was extremely nervous.
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing was, I'm an American working in Canada. I'm only here for like 2 weeks. What's going to happen if my boss calls and they need me while I'm pounding this? This person that I've given, you know, I think it was 400 Canadian was the price.
Well, that's
for an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it was for an hour.
Yeah.
Good. That seems like a lot.
That is high society.
Yeah, that's and that's on the
the low end.
The low. I wouldn't say low end, but that's on the more reasonable end.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
In my research, I've seen like $275, $300 an hour in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
I don't remember what I paid. I did it once. I've seen a sex worker once, just to do it, just for research for the show. And I didn't have full sex. It was at a rub and tug, and full service was on the table. The offer was there, but I didn't go all the way through with it. I think I just got a blow job. But I'm pretty sure that plus a massage and then a pretty like hefty tip. I think it probably came close to
$300.
Yeah, it was like 200. I think 200 bucks for. Yeah, I mean the full service would have been more, but yeah.
Oh yeah.
I also remember how like awkward and nervous and like it felt so like what am I doing?
Well, the girl I saw I was very fortunate. She was very. She was very open about why she was doing it. She was like, I'm doing this not because I need the money.
Yep.
I'm doing this because I enjoy sex a lot and my boyfriend isn't giving me enough. Mm. He is aware of this. I don't know. Now that I think about it in the back, I'm kind of like wondering if there was like some sort of like a little cuckolding type relationship going on there or something.
Sure, right.
But she was very great. She's like, hey, I understand this is your first time. We do this all the time. You're fine. You're very good at relaxing me and making everything seem as normal as it could possibly be.
So in that process, you know, you do it the first time and then it's kind of, you know, the ice is broken. You've done it once. It gets a little easier the second time, the third time, the fourth time beyond. What I hope it's okay to ask this, but like, what were the, can you recall the moments of learning for you? Within those experiences that enabled you to kind of get past the shame that you were struggling with, like what were the lessons that you took from those experiences with the escorts and you know the other sex workers through online work?
The biggest one was the first time after the hour was up and I went and got back in my car, I felt no shame, I felt no guilt, I felt fucking spectacular, as a matter of fact. I felt like a million, you know, I felt like a proverbial million bucks, which is not what I expected. I expected to feel guilt, shame, you know, just hellfire, damnation raining down on me. I didn't feel any of that. I felt great and went back to the room, went to sleep, slept great for the first time since I'd been there. And just the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, why have I felt all of this shame all of this time? Why would anybody give me these or anything, any God or whatever, give me the urges and then say, don't do that.
So it was pretty immediate then. It was like right after
that. It was immediate. It was after that. And I also, I had some problems. I am a, I don't know if you listen to Dan Savage.
Yeah.
You know, death grip syndrome. At the time I suffered from death grip syndrome. That's where you masturbate, guys specifically. Masturbate so hard that they lose sensation, and it makes it very hard to ejaculate or come unless you're jerking off because you've worn that groove in your psyche.
Whoa!
So it was really hard for me to come when I was having sex because I was used to having sex with my hand. and vagina, very different from a hand.
Yeah.
And just that groove. And she said something that just struck me. She's like, yeah, I see a lot of guys that have this problem. And she's like, it's not a problem. Just, you know, just relax. We'll get through it. And we did. It was great.
Cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Like I said, I felt very fortunate. I've only saw her once. I never saw her on Backpage again because I didn't get to go back to Canada for like 6 months after that. But she was fantastic. If you could ever ask for a first time, she was the epitome of the first time.
Huh. That's wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, Christians are probably saying that maybe she was sent by God.
Yeah,
there
right.
You go. She was an little angel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Your escort angel just
yes.
coming down to
just
release
she,
you of all the pressures and.
Yeah,
and wash away your sins with your own cum.
Yes, wash away your sins with more sin.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, but it was the relief and the change was immediate. Again, still had processing to do, but just like, oh my God, I've done that. Does that make me a bad person? Yada yada yada, and then realizing that no, it doesn't make me a bad person. Does it make her a bad person for doing it? No, she has found a way to make money. That she enjoys, that she provides a service that she enjoys providing, and she's allows her to make a little extra money or even make her living. Mm-hmm.
This was one of the things that really struck me after my experience with an escort, which was, you know, I went into that experience and with the intention of just exploring what it was like and what is there, what is offered and how it feels to be in that position. And when I came out of that, I realized that I felt this this overwhelming sense of like gratitude for the fact that this service exists, because I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, because I don't mean it in any sort of like status way or anything like that, but I came out of it and I thought this isn't something that I need. This isn't a service that I require. You know, like I'm very fortunate in that I'm confident enough to engage in sex with you know, people that I've already met in my life, or you know, I have two partners at home that I can, you know, that I can have sex with. I'm not struggling in any way. I don't need, you know, I'm not like isolated and don't have like, you know, social circles where, so it didn't seem like it was something that I would need in my life. But I really quickly realized how a lot of people aren't in that situation, you know, and this is a perfect example of someone who, in your case, is like, struggling with the idea of being sexually active, just purely through the guilt and shame that comes with religion, and then to go to, you know, to utilize this service and to learn something like that, like that's what a valuable thing that exists.
Yeah,
you know, like it just like reinforces that gratitude that is there, and just another example of like the ways that service can provide for someone.
Yeah, it was a genuinely a great experience, and I, like I said, I would not be here where I am today if that had not been available to me.
Mm. You're currently in a relationship.
Well, I am currently, I'm poly. I currently have one partner that I live with.
Holy fuck, look at you. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry?
I said, holy fuck, look at you. What a 180.
Yeah, it was 180. I have a partner I live with. I have two other partners and one girl that we're currently got some NRE going on right there.
Wow, look at you.
Some work going on? I miss that.
NRE.
NRE.
New relationship.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very, we've had one date with her. And then she's a nurse, and so she went to New York to help out. So we'll get to see her for 8 weeks. So I was just like,
ah.
Right.
You and your... And your live-in partner are dating her together, this third, the nurse?
We are, yes.
Okay.
I think.
Cool.
And is that the first time you've done that together?
It is, yes.
Okay. So you met a nice Christian girl and moved in with her.
I'm well, actually, she wouldn't call herself Christian. She calls herself a theist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
So she's more of a deist, which is the there is a prime mover, but he is totally disconnected from anything else.
When you two met, that like were you was polyamory a thing for you, or like did that develop as you guys started your relationship?
Polyamory journey was a little weird because I started dating two people almost simultaneously. One of them, she was open. She was poly. She's like, I've got like seven other partners. One of them, my primary, lives in New York. I live in
Jesus.
She's like a bunch of grapes.
Just, how many assistants does she have? Fuck.
Yeah. Who does her scheduling?
I have no, she's got the world's greatest student schedule. And she's currently down Memphis way with one of her partners. And then I started dating my current primary partner around the same time. She told me she was dating somebody else. She is also 20 years my junior.
Oh, that means you're younger, right?
Yes. She is.
I can never
younger than I.
Make that phrase make sense in my mind. So she's yes. your junior?
Yes, she is younger than I am. I'm 44. She's 24.
Okay. I'll try to remember that next time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your live-in partner?
Yes.
Okay.
And other partners, the age range is usually around my age. The girl we had to date with is 25.
Okay.
So.
Is your partner, your live-in partner, bisexual?
She calls herself queer.
Queer, right.
She does not care about a person's genitals. She is more attracted to the person as a person versus what their specific sexuality may be.
That's so great that her god is open to
well, I think the,
alternate
the
relationship
that,
structures.
Yeah, the beauty of her belief is she can believe in God, but she doesn't believe he's actively involved in anything.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So
it's very much the like a lot of the founding farmers. That's the restaurant across the road. A lot of the founding fathers of the U.S. were deists, in which they believed in God, but they did not believe he was an active, everyday participant in your life,
right.
Which is very much anathema to the churches I was attending at the time,
mm-hmm.
the Southern Baptists type stuff.
Okay.
If you were to say one thing to our listeners, and maybe there's a listener out there who, I mean, the chances are probably slim, but let's just say there's potentially a listener out there who doesn't think that sex workers or escorts are a valuable part of our society. What would be your message to that person?
Well, I think we're seeing that a lot right now, specifically with this whole coronavirus thing going on, is a lot of the parts of society that we see and that we haven't valued, like the grocery store workers, the people who, all of the people who drive the buses, the people on the trains.
The frontline workers that you wouldn't have assumed were frontline workers until it all hit the fan.
Who the hell is going to think before today that a grocery store worker is going to be considered an essential employee?
Yeah.
Until you go to the grocery store and they're out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Because they haven't stocked. I would say that it's like anything. They may not be necessary for you, but that doesn't mean they're not necessary for somebody. Mm. It's like insulin. I'm not diabetic. I don't need insulin. But there are people out there who are diabetic and need insulin.
Hmm.
It's not obviously that life or death, but there are people out there who need that. There are people who need chocolate. If you take the chocolate away, they're not going to die, but they're not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I might be one of those people, but
yeah. Something you just said reminded me of. Do you know who Esther Perel is?
The name is very familiar.
She lives in New York. Esther Perel. She's a psychologist, but she does a lot of talking about relationships. And
I think I may have heard her on an episode of the Lovecast.
Okay. Yep. Definitely. She's a big go-to voice on and all that stuff. She was doing an interview the other day or last week or 2 weeks ago, who knows, time is an illusion, that with Tim Ferriss, and it was like a 2-hour long conversation, and
at one point, probably an hour in, she said she was talking about loneliness, and she was talking about how people are lonely, and isolated, like so many people are right now. They can start down this pathway of thinking like, who loves me? Who would notice if I was gone? You know, that's like that line of thinking that can just spiral. And some turn of the lens, so that she was saying essentially, you may not feel loved by someone, but somebody needs you. Like we're all capable and available to be of service to others. And I think very much of the sex work industry there's an entertainment quality to some of it, but it seems like quite essential for a lot of the clients who are like frequenting escorts and things. It's like, it's human, like we need that to survive. We shrivel up and we die without human connection. And for some people, whether it's getting past like a mental block, I can't do things like that to a good Christian lady, but it's something I want. And this person is like essentially an athlete in the sport that I want to engage in. You know, there's just so many different, everyone should go. Everyone should use the services of an escort at some point, I think, just so you kind of get a sense of,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
what
even
a fucking
just a,
job that is.
Even just to dip your toes in. Like, again, yeah, like that experience for me, it was very eye-opening. Like, it was I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about, you know, I felt like I came out of it with a lot more like empathy and compassion for other, like it made me think outside of the normal realm of which I would, you know, naturally think.
It's a safe space too. Trafficking and all of the bad stuff aside, like, I'm by the sounds of it, this woman who gave you your first experience with an escort was made you feel really safe, and that is that's a skill. That's a big skill.
That is a skill. I'd say up there with like a psychologist or a shrink who can help you work through your issues. She was very much a shrink, very much helping me get outside of myself and help me realize that it's not bad.
It's what a beautiful way to connect with a person that you don't even really know, you know, just.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know her real name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, Matt, this has been really nice to connect with you. And, I really appreciate, you taking the time out of your day to sit down and, share with us your experience, because I think this is one of those conversations that kind of gets people thinking in ways that I think is really valuable. So thank you for being so generous and taking the time to share your experience.
Well, thank you for reaching out and asking me to be on. It's been great.
I'm really glad about this sort of 2 year, almost 3 year turnaround on this episode, because it's really nice to. It was nice to read your first email. We responded right away that we wanted to talk with you, but we weren't in your town. And now we have this possibility, and it's like we get to reflect on like turning points in your journey.
This, when I got the email yesterday, that just immediately brought me back and realizing that I'm not the same person that I was, but I wouldn't be the person I am without this event without the things having occurred.
Imagine that, trying to bunker that down with one a good Christian household, and now it's you are getting all of the love and.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, let's see. One of them's 7 hours away. The other one's in New York, so I'm not going to see her for a while.
You're not alone there. There's a lot of loneliness happening right now.
Yeah,
there is indeed. Fortunately, I have. I also have my little furry friend over there who's very supportive.
Dogs are the best.
It's funny how everyone's dog has just like all of a sudden become a support dog, a support animal. Like, and all the dogs are like, oh, this is great.
I love this new job I have.
I walked out the door to I had to go to work for a brief to a work site briefly, and like I was walking out the door and I looked back and Addie just had this look. I'm like, where are you going?
The fuck are you going?
You haven't left without me for like 4 weeks. Where are you going?
Yeah. What could you possibly have on right now?
Yeah, right.
Work clothes. What are those? those are going out for a walk clothes.
Well, thanks again, Matt.
And, thank you.
Yeah, it was really great. And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we'll be back next week with another wonderful conversation with somebody new. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for that, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review and hit the subscribe button and then go tell 5 strangers that you've done that and they should do the same thing. And you could also go to patreon.com/turnmeon. You know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic and it's probably one of the worst times in my lifetime to be an artist right now. Really hard time for those people, and Turn Me On Podcast, Brady and I, we're a part of that group. And
you could consider us your sex worker for the next few months.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, totally. So if you want to support us, you can do that. Go over to patreon.com/turnmeon.
And if you want to be on the show from wherever you are in the world, you can email us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com or through our website, turnmeonpodcast.com. Or if you have a brain boner, a question that you'd like our very unqualified but deeply caring advice, you can send us a message through either one of those portals. Again, our website, turnmeonpodcast.com or turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.